I'm a Mac.
And I'm a PC.
Oh, hey, PC, you want to see the website and home movie I made?
Oh, I'm so creative, and all my programs are so easy to use.
PC.
Well, some things never change, Mac. Some things never change.
What is that supposed to mean?
Does anyone want to see my pictures, PC? I have a better idea. How about I calculate how much time you've just wasted?
Mm-hmm. PC. Hmm? You want to see him?
Actually, I have a better idea. Why don't I calculate how much time you just wasted?
Hello, and welcome to the Colcasty Best 30 Plus Minute Album Conversation. You're going to hear all week long. I'm your host, Airfon Elijah. Joining me today, forget Arnold Schwarzenegger. Everyone who knows him will tell you he's the original Gominator. Leander Caney is here. How's that impression?
That was pretty good, yes.
Yeah, thanks. Also with us, he's the star of my upcoming children's book, Beardy Locks. It's going to be a bedtime classic. Ooh. Buster Hein is here.
Hey, what's up?
Also with us, he's not too short, he's not too tall, he's not too big, nor is he too small. He's medium-sized, Lewis Wallace.
Hey, I like to think of him as just right.
Is Lewis in...
He's just right, that's right.
It sounds like he's in the Beardy Locks book.
He might be, yeah.
Oh,
you should definitely be a character.
Please,
in
no.
There. All the kids will be like, I like how small and medium-sized he is. I mean medium-sized, Lou.
Thank you.
Medium-sized.
Let's get it right.
Yeah, sorry. All right, let's see here. It's a really exciting news week, and we have some of the best, most exciting Apple stories to share with you this week. Here is what we are going to talk about. Are you ready? Are you sitting down? Here it goes. We'll be talking about throttling, iPhone throttling. Yes, this is still a topic of note, but we've got some good news for you. If you were mad about that whole situation, which I don't think anyone actually was, but there was a lot of outrage, and there's some good news in that regard. We're also going to be talking about, wait for it, taxes. Ooh. Apple is going to be investing a ton of money in the U.S. economy, and this is all linked to the tax cuts. Well, I should say the tax overhaul, really, because not everyone's getting a cut. The tax overhaul that recently happened in the United States, and this is actually a big story. I know it sounds incredibly boorish, but there are some juicy tidbits in here about how Apple's going to restructure the business and bolster the economy, hopefully, and they're going to be treating their employees better. They made some new announcements recently, so we'll be telling you about that. And we're going to be talking about HomePod, because it looks like HomePod might actually be right around the corner. And is anyone still excited about HomePod? That's what I'm wondering.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I am too, but I've been hearing a lot of people say, oh, dude, HomePods, it's already old hat. There's all these other devices out there that are beating it already. And I'm like, really? Jeez, it hasn't even come out yet. How do you know? So we'll be talking a little bit about that. We'll be telling you how a MacBook Air saved Star Wars, The Last Jedi, from getting leaked to the masses. And then if you stick around to the very end, we're going to be doing an all-new What We're Into. Now, Lewis, before the show, was like, what's the difference between What We're Into and Under Review? And I gleefully explained, well, the difference is, Under Review, we talk about technology, gadgets, that type of thing. What We're Into is very similar. So I could see how you get the two conflated, although What We're Into is everything else that's not technology and gadgets. Anything that we're currently digging in our lives. And I've got a fun one. I've got a real neat one this week for you guys. So we'll be doing that. Before we jump into the news, let me go ahead and say thank you to Squarespace for supporting this episode. Squarespace.com is where you need to go if you need to get yourself a website. With Squarespace, you can turn your cool idea into a brand new shiny website, promote yourself to potential employers, college students, sell products and services of all kinds, promote your physical or online business, announce an upcoming event or special project like a brand new children's book that's going to be the number one Amazon bestseller for kids. And you can do it all by yourself with no help from anybody. All by yourself. Squarespace does this by giving you beautiful templates created by world-class designers, powerful e-commerce functionality that lets you sell anything online, built-in search engine optimization, and 24/7 customer service if you get stuck. Everything is optimized for mobile right out of the box. Get started at squarespace.com. Build a website, use it for 2 weeks, and see how you like it. And if you do like it, use code CULTCAST at checkout to purchase a website or a domain. And if you purchase 1 year of service, you get an additional discount on top of the CultCast checkout discount. That's squarespace.com. Use offer code CultCast at checkout. Okay, let's just do this first story real quick, because I know people may be tired of hearing us talk about this. This is the story about throttling your iPhones, getting throttled. If you've been listening to the show, you know, oh, the throttle, it's Throttlegate. How has no one mentioned that? Throttlegate? Have you guys heard that word yet? Or did I just coin it?
You've been calling it battery gate, right?
I think Throttlegate is more sexy, don't you think?
Oh, yeah. I'm with you, man.
Throttlegate will really get you the clicks. Battery gate's like, I don't know. I don't really care about batteries. But if I'm being throttled, oh, hell no. So Tim Cook had an interview on television recently here in the U.S., and he talked about the future of iOS 11, and he said there's going to be an update coming out that will disable the throttling feature that has been causing iPhones to throttle performance. The forthcoming update will give users the option to disable the feature, as they call it, but it will put you at the risk of unexpected shutdowns. So if your battery is older and you're trying to use your phone, it could just shut itself off. Buster, which would you go for? Are you going to get throttled, or are you going to risk it all?
Dude, don't throttle me, bro. No way.
Why would I even ask you that? Now I feel silly.
Yeah.
Lewis, throttle or random restarts?
Live dangerously, man.
Man, you do like to live dangerously, don't you?
Oh, yeah.
I'm learning this about you. I'm guessing Lander is going to be a little bit more moderate. He's going to say, you know, throttling, it may not be so bad.
I don't want to shut down and lose all my work.
But what if he's in the mix, in the middle of one of those very weird, pervy ASMR videos?
Exactly.
Nice and quote-unquote relaxed, and then your phone restarts?
That's the danger, isn't it? I know.
Especially ma'am.
The whispering reaches a crescendo. That's exactly when it's going to go down.
Would you even notice? I mean, the whispering is so quiet anyway. Maybe you wouldn't even notice that the phone restarted.
True, I could be asleep, yeah.
Yeah. So.
What about you?
I'm going to go full on pedal the metal. That's how I live my life. That's how I drive my Hyundai. And I'm definitely... And I'm definitely going to go unthrottled. I don't want Apple throttling me. Yeah. I live a high-performance lifestyle, and I don't need Tim Cook coming in there and moderating my performance. Yeah, whatever that means. Let's talk about this tax cut and Apple's plans to bolster the economy. So, you know, this tax plan is interesting, and we're not going to get political. That's one of the things I actually pride this show on, is we don't get political on this show. There's so many places talking about politics, and we're going to try and keep this politics free and just talk about it from a policy perspective, right? And I know there are good things about the tax plan. I know there are bad things about the tax plan. But I think one of the things that businesses are excited about is this new corporate rate. I think they dropped the corporate rate from 35% in the U.S. to... Correct me if I'm wrong. Does anyone know? I think it's 15%.
I think it is 15 point something, yeah.
15.5% maybe.
Yeah.
Okay, so some people think that this is going to bolster the economy and bring back jobs. Some people think that this is just a give out to corporations. There are people on both sides. Well, Apple has plans to use that money, and part of that is going to be infusing it into the economy. So here's the rundown. In its last earnings report, Apple said it had $252 billion in cash overseas. $252 billion. It appears that given the new corporate tax rate of 15.5%, Apple is planning to return a majority of that money to the United States. There is a one-time repatriation rate that corporations can take advantage of. And so they can bring that money back and pay a much lower rate than they otherwise would have. Apple plans to contribute $350 billion to the U.S. economy over the next 5 years, now that the fee for repatriating its mountain of cash has been significantly lowered. Even though construction on Apple's new spaceship campus is just finished, the company says it's already looking to build a brand new campus. Plans, including the location of a third Apple HQ, will be revealed sometime later this year. Hopefully it'll be in Seattle. The building will initially house a new team specializing in technical support for customers. The company also says it has plans to increase the size of its advanced manufacturing fund from $1 billion to $5 billion. This fund is used to invest in U.S. manufacturing companies and suppliers. So this could be a boon for manufacturing of high-tech equipment. Apple says it will add over 20,000 new jobs in the next 5 years by hiring for new jobs at its existing campuses and its new one. $30 billion will be spent on capital expenditures. I have no idea what that means. In the U.S. over the next 5 years, with $10 billion of that going to data centers. I do know what that means. With the new tax law in effect, Apple expects it will have to pay, get this, Apple is going to have to cut the IRS a check. I'm assuming it's going to be a cashier's check. $38 billion. It will be the largest payment the IRS has ever received. I don't even know how you transfer that much money. I mean, $38 billion bucks? You can't even put that all in one bank account.
You got to have some special banking shit, right?
Yeah, I think that's precisely the way they describe how that whole situation goes down.
That was
down.
In the quoting from the press release.
Yeah, that's exactly what Tim Cook said. Yeah,
I think Tim's going to pay in pennies. Just like all the other tax protesters.
That's how you do it, yeah.
Trump Tower.
$38 billion to the IRS. Whew! Which, it's hard to even fathom that amount.
I don't know, but when you look at like the annual spending of the government, that's like a drop in the bucket, really. So
right, yeah. I think we're $20 trillion. we have a $20 trillion deficit right now.
I was going to say the budget for the whole of San Francisco is like $10 billion a year, I think. $9 billion.
Oh,
a year
really?
For the entire city?
We could run the entire city for 4 years?
Yeah.
That's a big budget, well, I feel like.
That includes all the graft.
Right.
Well, all the what?
Graft.
What's
what
graft?
The hell is that?
What's graft?
Yeah, is that some special kind of... Is that the residue that you get from your bong?
Corruption.
Oh, your crack pipe? Sorry, Lou.
Oh, God.
I know you're into the more refined experiences.
Yeah, I like to stay grounded. Don't even get me started on San Francisco's budget.
Okay,
I mean,
explain to me what the graft is. You're leaving me hanging up high.
Have you never heard the word graft?
I still have not heard of it.
Are you kidding me?
Please
don't understand it either.
Is this like a term from the 1700s or something? Graft.
It probably is.
Graft.
Is
those, corruption.
Oh, it sounds like one of those British words that Luke and Killian use all the time.
Sorry. Yeah. It's English and...
I almost just let it go because I didn't want to reveal how stupid I might be. I was like, is this a term everyone knows? I'm like, I'm going for it. I don't even know what he just said.
Wow. I can't believe nobody's heard that term.
I've literally never heard that word in my life. Although, unless it's referencing like grafting together two pieces of plant life to make like a tree, which is not a term I hear very often either. Leonard, you didn't even know it, did you?
I did, yeah.
Oh, he's lying. Craft. I heard of craft. Yeah,
that's weird. It doesn't even show up in the dictionary. What's going on?
Well, you're smarter than me, Lewis. What
Have
can I
lost
say?
My mind?
That's why we brought you on. The show.
It's kind of like it's a. I think a grift.
Here we grift go. Is? The acquisition of gain in dishonest or questionable ways.
And how is it spelled? Is it graft or grift?
It's graft.
The same way you would graft like a tree onto another tree,
exactly.
Branch. Oh, that's God! I hate English. It's so horrible. We have way too many words that are similar.
We really only need like 200 words max.
Yeah.
And if you use more than one of those words, you're just showing off, and no one knows what you're talking about.
As long as one of those words is not tweet.
Tweet.
Now that's a good word. That's a word that I use very often. Yeah. You got to remember, Lewis, I stopped going to school in fourth grade and started working on my farm, my dad's farm. That's not true. Okay, let's move on.
You grafted trees. I understand it all now. Full circle.
Yeah. Leander, there are some other benefits to this tax overhaul. Please tell us, enlighten us.
Keep it apolitical. So
apolitical, yes.
Apparently Apple employees are getting a big bonus thanks to
the
magnificent President Trump.
You forgot to mention the stable genius. Okay? Please be respectful. Okay, so they're getting $2,500 each of restricted stock, which is nothing to laugh at.
Yeah,
it's
Apple.
Nothing to laugh at, but it's only like Apple only spent $300 million on that bonus, which is like nothing.
It's pretty petty.
Do you know why is it why is it restricted stock? Do you know
It probably so they can't sell them off right away.
And it probably has to vest over a period of time, 2 years or something. Yeah. I was reading about this on Reddit, and they were saying...
As cash. Why not cash? A cash, like a cash bonus.
I kind of think that's nicer because it's kind of like, we're give, I don't know, in a way, like, yeah, I could use cash right now, but like stock, it's like, we're giving you this bonus and it'll pay out over longer, over, it'll be worth more over time if you want
it. If the stock keeps going up, which it probably will.
Which it probably will,
dude,
right?
I mean,
especially now that Apple got some more billions in the bank to make itself bigger and buy some other stuff.
Apple stock as of right this moment is $179 a share. $179 a share. And I think there are some other benefits of giving them stock. A, you don't have to pay payroll tax on it or anything. Well, let me just caveat what I'm about to say with, I'm no tax expert, okay?
I'm just some guy on a podcast,
but let me throw out my completely uninformed opinion. You don't have to pay payroll tax, and also it goes up in value, and then also you have to pay. I know that the employees receiving the stock, if they let it vest over a year or two, they have to pay a much lower rate on that money than they would if Apple just gave them $2,500. They'd have to pay their normal income tax rate on that, and this is considered money from stock, so
capital gains tax.
Yeah, exactly. It's just taxed differently. So, and I guess this is pretty common. Now, I think it's also worth noting that this is something that Apple has actually done before. I think they did this exact same thing in 2016.
Did they?
So this may not be as a result of the tax overhaul. What?
And Tim Cook said that in an interview that like some of these things, like the $350 billion thing and a couple of the other projects tied up into that, aren't necessarily directly related to the tax overhaul or whatever you want to call it. But some of it definitely is.
Well, now, Tim Cook put my floor on my jaw. Take that, reverse it. He did a CBS interview, and he said, and I'll paraphrase this because I don't remember exactly what he said, but that the tax overhaul would be a boon for the economy, would bolster jobs, and would be a great thing for business. And I could not believe what I was hearing.
Well,
I couldn't believe that even if he thought that, he would actually admit that on television, you know, because clearly, he's not a big fan of this administration, as many in Silicon Valley are not. Well, and for him to give him that credit, I was like, wow, good for Tim.
Yeah, I mean, I think Tim Cook is opposed to Donald Trump on a personal level. But as the CEO of like the biggest company in America, yeah, you have to love any type of administration that just wants to make corporate America richer and the regular people poorer. So that's cool. Yeah.
So we're going to keep it at the limit.
Yeah. We'd have slipped that in there. Yeah. We were doing so well, too.
I'd really like to see how it's making regular people poorer by letting
them keep more of their money. Yeah.
Well, they didn't mention the one thing that probably, I mean, most of that money, I imagine, or a lot of that money is going to go to stock buybacks and stock dividends.
Right. Because now they can just buy up more of their stock, which Apple. Wasn't there rumors a long time ago, Leander, that Apple wanted to take itself private?
I haven't heard any credible ones recently. I mean,
but why do they buy back so much of their own stock?
I think it bolsters their stock price, doesn't it?
It bolsters the stock price. I think I'm not a financial expert. I just talk shit on a podcast. But
yeah, I'm not even from this country, guys. I'm just gonna tell you what I think.
Shithole podcast.
Yeah, I don't know. I think it has a lot to do with the institutional investors, you know, like keeping Wall Street happy, keeping the stock price up.
But it keeps investors happy too. I mean, I am an Apple investor through, I don't own any direct Apple stock, but I own it through mutual funds. And the mutual fund has just been going up and up and up and up. The last 2 years, it's been insane. It's gone up like 40%. And Apple also pays dividends now. And I was looking through my 401k. And I'm getting like thousands of dollars in dividends. It's just insane. I'm like, this is what it must feel like to be a bank. You do absolutely nothing, and then people just send you money. It's great. It's a great feeling. So I think that even Apple or any company, really, even them buying their stock back, it's great for investors. And hopefully people, I think a lot of people probably have investments of some kind, I would imagine, even if it's some modest amount. So even if they just do a stock buyback, I think it works out well for all of us.
Okay, well, I just looked it up. So it was, I kind of got it right. But it's you know, a company is fiduciary duty is to increase shareholder value.
Right.
And there's no better way if you have a bunch of capital of investing it back into the company itself. That increase, by definition, increases shareholder value.
By buying shares
in itself. That's the reason.
Well, okay. I think one of the other cool things about this story that came out was that Apple is going to be matching charitable donations for employees up to $10,000 annually at a rate of 2-to-1. I really wonder if Steve Jobs would have, if this initiative would have gone into place and Steve Jobs was still with us. So if you donate $5,000 to a charity, Apple will donate $10,000 to that same charity, which is a huge benefit. I really hope that people that work there take advantage of this, that they'll let Apple amplify their donations in some way, because it's incredibly generous for Apple to do this. This is really common among tech companies, but I think this is one of the more generous plans that there is. And what a cool way to give to charity. You give like a little bit and then Apple matches you and you feel way more generous than you actually were, because it feels good to give away other people's money. Anyway, so there's all that. It looks like Apple is going to be at least doing some good things with the tax cut money that they'll be getting. I'm really curious if other companies are going to be following suit, because let's say you work at a company and you ask for a raise. Well, you know they have it to give it to you now because they're getting a huge tax cut. So I think everyone should go to their bosses and just say, hey, you know what, dude? I want a raise. I want a 5% raise because you're getting 15%.
I feel like great idea.
Leander's like,
Hey, Leander.
No.
What are you saying? Shh.
Sorry, Buster, go ahead.
Oh, I was just saying, like, I feel like that's the misconception of it in some ways, is people expect the corporations to give that money back to their employees. But like Leander's saying, they don't have an obligation to their employees as much as they have to the shareholders, so they're going to be pleasing the shareholders more, too.
Hopefully they'll do some of both.
Well, in a perfect world, they would, you know, give it all to the people. But,
well, I think some businesses are gonna say F you, yeah, and they're gonna not give their employees squats. We all know that's gonna happen. But hopefully there will also be a lot of businesses that say, oh, I have more money to spend now. Now I can hire more people, and because I have more additional cash, and maybe that's cash they just didn't have to spend before.
Well,
so
yeah, but this is an era of record corporate profits. I mean, corporations in America have never made more money in the history of the economy. You know, being short of cash was not one of their problems.
Mm-hmm.
But isn't the unemployment rate the lowest it's been like 20 years? Or
right,
something?
But wages, you know, people's salaries are as low as they have been for, you know, 20 years. They haven't really ticked up.
Well, we could do an entire show just on this. I mean, I think this is especially true in areas where there's a lot of technology, because technology jobs pay so well. I always tell people you could be a total chimpanzee and make $60,000 a year in technology, because there's just so many great jobs available in technology and they all pay a lot of money. And then you have like the normal people who have normal jobs, and then you have people in technology who sometimes are doing absolutely nothing. I've known many of these people who do absolutely nothing all day and they're making like $100K.
Wow.
And I know that sounds crazy to people who don't live in areas of high technology, but it's true. You would not believe how much money some of these people make, and they literally do nothing, or they work 25 hours a week and they completely game the system. I often wonder how many people are like that inside of big corporations like Apple and Microsoft and stuff. And anyway, we've gone on too long about this. We always try to not get political. I think we did a pretty good job. I think we were pretty fair and balanced for the most part, because I know we all have opinions, but we try not to you know, beat you over the head with them.
No, I do.
Well, it's not for Buster,
yeah.
But though, you know, we try to temper his opinions and say things that he didn't actually say. All right, before we move on, let me go ahead and say thank you to the Art of Charm podcast for supporting this episode. The Art of Charm is an iTunes top 50 podcast that is packed with wisdom in the truest sense of the word. From how to become more productive and professional, like those of us on the Cultcast, to how to read body language, network, and negotiate. That was my Trump. How was it? Not very good. And the show basically covers everything that will help you become a high performer at home and at work. And with an armory of powerful weapons like influence and persuasion, it brings together interesting people like Shaq Diesel, Russell Brand, Larry King, Neil deGrasse Tyson, and Bill Nye. Boom! To discuss relationships, attraction, life hacking, and success. They should have Lewis on there to talk about life hacking. You're the ultimate life hacker, Lewis. The Art of Charm is highly addictive and strives to be fun and educational at the same time, just like the Cultcast. It's not stuffy college professor textbook stuff. Personal growth shouldn't have to be so boring all the time. This isn't pop psychology and superficial advice. This is a show that offers meaningful, fun, life-changing insights with a practical edge that you can apply right out of the box. You deserve an extraordinary life, Buster. Well, I take that back. You already have an extraordinary life.
Oh, thanks.
Leander, you deserve an extraordinary life. You need to go to theartofcharm.com/podcast, theartofcharm.com/podcast, or search for The Art of Charm on iTunes or wherever you listen to podcasts and start taking your life to the next level.
Leander, you could use a little charm.
Well, yeah. I can use a bowl of, a bowl of Lucky Charms.
Leander's got charm down to a science. To an art form for him anymore.
God.
Okay,
I don't even know what charm means. It's like graft.
We need to start an Art of the Lucky Charms podcast. We all talk in Irish accents.
There you go. Magically delicious.
And we just talk about breakfast cereals everywhere and how to use them to life hack. Okay. Yeah. Let's talk about HomePod shipments quickly. Lewis.
Yeah, this is great
break
news.
Break it down for me.
Great news. The first HomePod shipments are apparently on their way to Apple. That means launch is nearby.
Whoa.
Very nearby in a temporal sense. Launch is imminent. Who knows? Who knows? You could wake up tomorrow and there could be a press release from Apple saying HomePod is now available for pre-order. You can pick it up next week. Who knows? We don't exactly know when they're going to be coming. It still says, you know, early 2018 on their website. But the news this week is that Inventec, an Apple supplier, has already shipped 1 million of the new smart speakers to Apple ahead of the launch. They're supposed to ship like 12 million, not that company, but them and Foxconn, who have split the production of this device. But they're thinking about 12 million. What the hell? 12 million by the end of the year.
Sorry, it's just me coughing up my kidney.
Scared the heck out of me. anyway, you know, this can't come too soon, right? I mean, Amazon Echo and Google Home just kind of dominated CES or anything I've read. I mean, we weren't there, but we read a lot about it. And they're baking Echo, or not Echo, but Alexa into all kinds of devices.
Toilets!
Thermostats to toilets, man. And, you know, Apple's sitting there kind of going, it's coming soon. Anyway.
Let me drop some wisdom, some true wisdom on you, like I was on the Art of Charm podcast. I don't think any of that crap matters. I don't think that the Amazon Alexa or the Amazon Echo matters. I don't think Alexa matters. I don't think that the Google Home products matter, because Apple is positioning this as a speaker. It's a high quality music playback device. I think it's going to be like the Hi-Fi, the Apple Hi-Fi reborn. And for everyone wondering if this is going to be a smart speaker, I think it's a speaker that's smart. And I think there's some nuance there, which is why it won't matter, because I think that this speaker is going to sound magnificent. And I'm looking forward to putting it to the test side by side against my Amazon Echo, which I think sounds decent. And I'm still excited for it for that reason, because there's a lot of home speakers on the market, or smart speakers on the market, but none of them are going to sound really amazing. And that is where I think Apple is going to have a competitive advantage. And that's why I don't think it matters that all these other speaker systems exist already. And Amazon's trying to build Alexa. They always go after platforms. They're all about platforms. They try to build a platform that they can monetize. And that's what they're doing with Amazon Alexa. They're building Alexa into everything. And some of the stuff that's coming out, like all the crap at CES, I kind of raise an eyebrow to and think, do you need Amazon Alexa in your toilet? Do you need it in your thermostat? Do you need Alexa in all these different things? I don't think that it matters. I don't think that you do. I have an Amazon Echo and I don't even use Alexa all that often. And I don't think I need to have access to it in every single room of my house. It hasn't become that important to my lifestyle, and I've owned it for 2 years now. Leander, what do you think? You have an Amazon Echo as well.
We've got Echoes everywhere. Yeah, we have.
We can't have this conversation without our Echoes interrupting us. By the way,
right, yeah, I'm sorry. Well, mine's called Alexa, so it hasn't lit up yet.
But okay, yeah, mine actually is called the Echo.
Okay.
Student's going to know how to spell.
I've got one that I can see it here. It's picked its ears up. It's, you know, like it's just about to burst into the podcast with some some music or something. But Yeah, we have them, and then I gave my son one, like an extra one, and have I bought one of those 5-packs of Echo Dots when they were on sale.
Mm-hmm.
So we have them everywhere. There's one in the garage, bedroom, bathroom.
Is the Echo Dot the one that you need to hit the button before it will listen to you?
No, that was the and they actually changed that with the software. But that was the what's it called? The you know, like the little portable battery powered speaker.
Mm-hmm.
Like a little cylinder. I don't remember the
name. Yeah. So they don't even have, you don't even have to press the button anymore. Now they're just basically a smaller version of the Echo.
Right. And then there's one in our thermostat, and there's one somewhere else. Oh, I bought one of those Sonos ones as well. So they're everywhere.
Of course you did.
Yeah. Sonos has Alexa of speakers? You did.
Sonos has one, yeah, the Sonos One.
Oh.
And it has Alexa built in. And funny enough, that's the only one that doesn't work. It stopped working. And I just haven't been I haven't had the time to figure out why. I don't want to troubleshoot it. Like, so yeah, that was, that's the only one that doesn't, that's the one I really wanted. And that's because it's connected to the whole Sonos system, but, it's the only one that really doesn't work. Yeah. I like it. You know, like we use it all the time, for all sorts of stuff. And it'll be interesting if, you know, like when the HomePod does come out, you know, like I said, it's a part of it's a music system, isn't it? So it's going to be great for playing music, but I don't know if it's going to be great for doing all those other things you use Alexa for, like setting timers and reminders and checking on the weather and doing, you know, like little asking it for random facts and, you know, all those little chores you'd use.
One of the newest things I've been doing is asking it the definition of words.
Oh, yeah.
Because usually I go to Google and I type define colon and then I type the word in, and now I use the Echo, and it seems to be working pretty well.
Right.
My big concern for the HomePod, and I've said this before, is will it have Spotify support? Can you use it as a Spotify speaker like you can with the Echo? Because if it can't do that, I don't know if I can use it, because I don't use Apple Music.
Same, and that would be a huge bummer, because yeah, like you're saying, like I'm thinking the only reason I want the HomePod is so I can say play this artist and on Spotify. Like pretty much that's all I would use it for. And yeah, if it was only working with Apple Music, that would definitely
what do you think? What do you
deal breaker.
Think it's going to be?
Yeah.
I really don't know.
It's probably only going to be Apple Music.
That's what I think too, at least to start. Which would be a huge omission. It would be Apple shooting themselves in the foot, because Spotify just announced they have 70 million subscribers, and what does Apple Music have? 12 or 15 or did they say 30? I don't remember. Do you guys remember?
Apple has over 30 million.
Over 30. Okay, so less than half the user base is Spotify. And the Spotify, if you're not a Spotify user, the Spotify Connect integration is so slick. So from any device, you can play Spotify on another Spotify device. So from my iPhone, I can tell it to play music on my Mac. I can also tell it to play music on my Echo. I can tell it to play music on my PC, because anything that uses Spotify can become a Spotify connected speaker. And it's really versatile. And if I can't control my music from my Mac on my HomePod, I don't know. It just doesn't really fit in my lifestyle in that regard. Yeah. But I also need to see how good it sounds, because that's the other key thing, right? It's $350 bucks. I was going to get two.
Okay.
But I've tempered my excitement. Now I'm going to start with one and see how it sounds and see how it performs.
So here's another question. Would you switch to Apple Music if the speaker sounded that good? Like,
No.
Like, exactly, this couldn't be a good way to sell people on Apple Music. Like, you know, we have the AirPods. I don't know. The AirPods and the HomePods and all these awesome audio products now.
That,
like,
thing
so
would have
Apple
to
Music.
Sing like an angel to make me want to switch over to Apple Music. I just don't like Apple Music. I love Spotify. All my playlists are on Spotify. All my friends are on Spotify.
Yeah, same.
So I that would be like saying, would you switch to PlayStation because you like the controller more? I don't know.
Okay.
I don't think so. Would you?
No, I wouldn't. No, not at all. It wouldn't be. I mean, it would, because you could just buy a nice speaker and connect. And
Well, yeah, you could. Yeah, there are a lot of Spotify connected speakers out there, right? I mean, Sonos has some, I think.
Right.
In fact, I think they all might be Spotify Connect speakers. So.
Yeah. Right. Spotify works really well with Sonos.
Yeah, I might be making conversion to Sonos.
Yeah.
Instead of getting the HomePod, I might be trying to get my hands on one of those Sonos speakers. Maybe I could buy one from you, Leander. Don't you have like 125 in your house? You got speakers under your bed. You got them in your car.
We've got a few. We've got five, I think.
Only five?
Holy cow.
You've lost your touch. You've changed.
What does he like so much more about Spotify than Apple Music?
I love the design way better. I like that my friends are on it because we'll create playlists with each other. And like, so I listen to a lot of my friends' playlists. They'll listen to mine. And yeah, I just like the design, pretty much that, and playlists on Spotify better.
And the Discover features are great. Yeah. It does such a good job determining what kind of music that you might like. It will come up with like weekly Discover playlists for you and daily Discover playlists with you. And the radio stations are generally very good. So you can tell what kind of artist you like or base it on a song, and it will come up with an entire playlist. And then, as Buster said, the entire app is so polished. I mean, Spotify has been doing this for so long that at least the last I tried Apple Music, I felt like Spotify had features, UI features, and polish that Apple Music just didn't have because they were on version
like
one or two or something.
I want to use Spotify, whereas Apple Music, it always felt like it was such a pain to find music that I wanted to. Even though they both offer like pretty much an identical set of features almost for the main features, like it's still just, I just like Spotify more.
So have you tried Apple Music since it first came out?
Yeah,
since
I've tried
the first 3 month.
It's probably been a year since I tried it, but it came out two years ago.
Same
so
here.
I usually give it a try every year for a little bit, like for a month or so. And I don't know. I've never just liked Apple Music as much as Spotify.
I wonder if anyone's still listening to Beats One.
Beats One Radio?
Yeah.
He's got Save Love on there.
Linda, are you still listening to it?
I haven't listened to it for a while, I gotta admit. No, because there was too much talking, and every time I tuned in, there was some idiot babbling on the air, so I haven't listened to it for a while.
When it's one listener. Oh, just kidding.
I bet you it's dropped off a ton.
I also find it kind of confusing to try to find shows, past shows that I wanted to listen to.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, because the interface on the iPhone app anyway, like, it, you know, it just gives you the name of the show, but it doesn't really tell you what the show's about. Or what it doesn't indicate really what kind of, you know, music it is.
Yeah.
And then I found it kind of hard to, you know, to find all the different shows too that they were offering. Like, I gotta go back. I haven't looked at it for a while, but I remember thinking I was looking for Julie's show, and couldn't find it.
Huh.
So I kind of gave up.
Yeah. On the entire Apple Music experience, barely. All right, well, let's move on and tell you what. Let's do the Star Wars story next week here, Buster, because we're running low on time. So let's just jump right into an all-new What We're Into. This is the segment where we tell you about the stuff that we're into that is not technology, not gadget-related. And I got a very spicy one this week.
Ooh, spicy.
Not as spicy as mine.
Oh, yeah. It's very literally not as spicy as yours. Does anyone want to go first?
I thought you did. Come on, man.
Yeah, I don't think I
very polite of you.
I mean,
what?
Yeah, you want me to go first? Okay, I'll go first. So, as many of you know, I am a huge fan of MoviePass.
Oh,
I've probably sold like 10,000 memberships thus far, even though their customer service is a horrendous piece of garbage. They will literally never get back to you. If you have a single problem, you will never hear from them. You can call them, email them. They do not care. They don't care about you. But when it works, which is like 90% of the time, it's fantastic. So I see movies all the time now because I pay MoviePass 10 bucks a month, and then I get free movie tickets basically for the entire month. So I've been seeing movies like crazy, and I see movies that I generally would never see. Because previously, I would only go to the AAA-rated movies, right? Maybe the Guardians of the Galaxy, I'd go see a Star Wars, and I'd see maybe two movies a year at the movie theater because, you know, why go see a drama or a comedy, especially a comedy? But I saw a comedy recently that I actually liked a lot. I fell in like with, I'll say that. It was Jumanji, Welcome to the Jungle. Did
I
you
saw
see
that.
Buster?
Yeah, oh yeah.
Dude, it was great, wasn't it?
It was cute, yeah. It was like just like the first one, like the... As far as like, it was silly but enjoyable. You know?
Yes, precisely. So the first Jumanji brought Jumanji out of the game and into the world, but this Jumanji takes you out of the world and into the world of Jumanji. And that's what I loved about it, is the world of Jumanji is really cool. And the premise of the movie, I don't know if I should talk about the premise of the movie, actually. It might give away some spoilers. Buster, do you think I could mention the game differences? Okay, this is something that was in the trailer, so this probably doesn't actually ruin it for anyone. So the difference is the regular Jumanji was a board game. This Jumanji is a video game, and it sucks the people into the world of the video game. And it has some really cool video game dynamics. Like, if you've ever played video games, they add a bunch of dynamics like cutscenes and non-player characters, the story, who behave like they would in normal video games, which just make it funny. And then the cast is great. They have The Rock. Mm-hmm. And I
Jack
love The Rock.
Black killed it in that movie, though.
Like, I think Jack Black, this might have been one of his best roles.
So good. Like, yeah, he was so good at that movie.
And they had the very sensual Karen Gillan as one of the actors. And they have Nick Jonas, who I know is Lewis's favorite actor of all time. And I remember Lewis once said, he's just so steamy. How does he do it? I said, I don't know, Lewis. I don't know, but he's clearly very sexy. And Jack Black plays a teenage girl who is obsessed with Instagram and selfies and that type of thing. And it's a magnificent performance. It wasn't as funny as people said it was going to be, and I gotta admit, it wasn't as good as I was hoping it was gonna be, but it wasn't as bad as I was fearing it would be.
I think that was totally fair. Like, it's not a great movie, but it was decent.
I liked it a lot. In fact, I saw it twice because, you know, why not?
Because you got movie pass.
I got movie pass, so I can't see like two movies a weekend now. I'm like, I see every movie twice, even if it's bad, I'll go see it twice. So it's got a 90% audience score on Rotten Tomatoes. And if you haven't seen it, I do think that there's a lot. Now that I'm seeing a lot of movies in the movie theater, I have become more familiar with the dynamic and the ambience that is added when you go see a movie in the movie theater, namely the sound. The sound is so much more immersive, and it brings you into the movie in a way that normal television doesn't. In fact, I just rewatched Blade Runner 2049, one of the best movies ever made. Definitely one of the best movies last year.
Poo-poo on your big screen, though?
I watched it on my 50-inch plasma, and it was a different experience. It's more like watching TV because you don't get the immersion of the sound and all, like, the bass rattling your nipples against your shirt, which feels nice, but also is immersive. And I took that too far. But, you know, anyway, Jumanji, Welcome to the Jungle. I really liked it. In theaters now. Who wants to go next?
Boom.
Lewis, tell us about your spicy sausage.
My super spicy life hack.
Yeah, Lewis, we all want to hear about your spicy sausage. Drop it on us.
Yeah, so I went to the doctor a couple weeks ago, and I got some rather unfortunate news about me being a fat ass. and so I started exploring some other types of food that I might eat that might help me, I don't know, drop 30 pounds. And one of the things that I've been thinking about trying this for ages, and I never did until this, like, a week ago. It's called soy riso.
Oh my God, this
sounds
just,
it sounds terrible.
It's just organic vegan chorizo.
Oh God,
made out of textured soy protein and all kinds of spices. And you know, okay, I've eaten this kind of stuff in the past. You know, it's never much to get excited about, right? It's like, it tastes a little bit like a burger, I guess. It's whatever.
Do most people know what chorizo is?
Chorizo.
I'm not even sure I know
what
it is.
Spicy Mexican sausage.
Well, yeah.
Oh, is it?
Yeah, maybe not. It's typically served for breakfast, right? I mean, but you can also get it in burritos and tacos.
Burritos, usually.
But, you know, it's spicy, and it's delicious. I mean, it's not hot, 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 but it's spicy.
It's not hot, hot, hot.
It's not going to burn your mouth open. But so, anyway, in an effort to get my weight a little bit more into the normal range, actually, it probably is normal for America, but to get it more into the acceptable range, I've started using a little app on my phone and tracking every last calorie that I eat, which is mind-blowing because, oh my God, there's that many calories in a beer times five? Oh my God.
I know. Now imagine drinking 12 or 30 a day like Leander.
Yeah, it's shocking. I mean, no wonder he sits there on that treadmill all day. Anyway, so the funny thing about this chorizo stuff, I finally get it. I make some up. I've been eating it for breakfast every day. You know, make a little soft taco or with some scrambled eggs or something. It's
so
delicious. And it doesn't necessarily taste like chorizo, right? I mean, chorizo, the real thing. Uh-huh. There's no pigs in it. It can't be as good as something with pigs in it. Sorry, pigs, but it's really, really good. And here's something else. It says, you know, chorizo trademark. Well, there's a bunch of people that make it. There's a bunch of brands on the market. And so I've only tried one package by El Burrito, right? So I'm going to go try some of these other ones. There's other brands on the market. Trader Joe's has one. There's I don't know. To me, it's kind of like it's got so much spice and it's so tasty that it covers up the fact that it's, you know, just a bunch of soybeans. Huh. Anyway, I recommend it quite highly. I'm still high, you know, the very end of my Cerezo, you know, journey. But give it a shot.
It's quite a journey, like, indeed.
I might have to try it, but it
it's got like 90
terrible.
Calories in 2 ounces. That's like less than half of what a normal, you know, chorizo has in it. So
chorizo aficionado here.
Yeah, I'd recommend their sausage patties, too. They have veggie sausage patties at Trader Joe's.
The little
Joe's.
Breakfast patties, yeah.
Oh, listen to these two guys. They definitely live in San Francisco.
Oh,
don't
I know.
They?
You guys are such...
You should see our breasts. They're growing from all the soy esters.
Well, that's so the other benefit you didn't mention is you look even better in your bikini now. Really, really filling out the top.
Yeah, a plant-based diet.
Working on my beach bod.
All right, Sarita. I never expected to hear... Lewis speaks so passionately about a sausage.
Yeah, because Lewis is a real meat fan.
Who is Lewis? Is
Lewis wanted to start? What was the whole meat core idea he wanted to do? He wanted like to start a band that just played like heavy metal music about meat
rock.
Meat rock.
Exactly. I think it's time, man. I've got a lot of songs in the back catalog. Every song about meat.
Oh, it's just you guys. Okay, so your whole catalog is about different meats,
and then they'd be serving barbecue, right, Lewis, at the concert?
Absolutely, and all the like guitar tracks would be super beefy, man. Really, just rocking.
I feel like you could.
And then, in the middle of the show, you just throw steaks into the mosh pit.
We would never waste meat. What we would do is maybe we would hand out a ticket for a free burger or something. I don't think we would be throwing meat on the ground. Meat is precious. Okay, you eat it. You don't throw it away.
And instead of the meat rock band, now you're in the soy boy.
I'm going to become a DJ. Soy Boy.
DJ Soy Boy. This is my new track, Voluptuous Breasts. I think you're all going to like it. All right. That went into territory I wasn't expecting. Let's see here. Leander, what do you got for us?
Okay, well, it's a new iPhone cover for the iPhone X. And it's a wood cover. It's made by Toast out of Portland, Oregon. And it's a stick-on cover. It's like some wood veneer that's been laser cut and coated in some kind of glue. So you glue it onto your phone. You peel it and stick it on. And I was skeptical, you know, like when I got it about a month ago. I didn't think it would last, but it's stayed on. It's really protected the phone really well. It's got a couple of chips in it, so I can see that, you know, there might have been some damage if I hadn't had it on. It's really nice. It gives it a wood feel. It looks really, you know, it's unusual looking. People compliment it and want to check it out and see it. And it's really nicely cut. You know, the laser, they cut they scored the wood with a laser so that it wraps really well around the curvature of the phone. Mm-hmm. It's clever. It's nice. I like it.
I'm looking at this right now on their website. This stuff is actually pretty cool looking. They make it for a variety of products. They have MacBook Pro,
right,
veneer covers, or I guess laptops. They have one for the Xbox and PlayStation. Wow, these are really intricate.
Yeah. They have some that are laser engraved. So they have these really crazy designs. They look they're a bit sort of hippie henna for me. But
they look very steampunk. Do you guys know what I'm talking about? Steampunk, where they take things like that. They make technology out of
Victorian style.
Yeah,
stuff.
Like wood and metal and stuff, and it makes all your cool like new technology look like it's old.
Yeah. So that's
it's like
I
that
want.
Movie, The Wild Wild West, with
Will Smith.
Will Smith, yeah.
Classic.
Yeah, so good. So good.
Well, they also do one for the Apple Pencil, which is pretty funny. It's because it makes the Apple Pencil look like a pencil.
Is it yellow or is it wood grain?
It looks like they have a number of them. So they, I don't have to do a yellow one, but it's.
They should.
Hold on, where is it? I've lost it now. Where did it go?
This is crazy. They make it. They make this thing for all sorts of stuff.
Yeah, right.
Oh, the MacBooks. Apple Pencil. There it is. I see it.
Yeah, there is a yellow one.
Awesome.
That's actually kind of cool.
It is cool. Yeah.
And it's not too expensive either. That the pencil one's only $19.
And you can put custom text on it. So.
Yeah, say Cultcast Forever or Soy Boy Band. Give them out at your show.
DJ Soy Boys.
Lewis and the Soy Boys. You could be like Huey Lewis in the News. You could score the next Back to the Future movie. Okay. Buster, take us home, bro.
What up? Mine is another media choice. Have you guys watched Black Mirror before?
Uh-huh. Yes. No, but I've been meaning to.
Oh, dude, you got to check out season 4, man. It just came out on Netflix, I think on New Year's Day or something like that. But I finished it, and yeah, the entire season is great, but especially the first episode of the new season. The whole series, if you're not familiar with it, like each episode kind of stands on its own and is its own story. And usually it's focused on technology or how technology is going to ruin the world and stuff. So there's usually like some overarching message, and they usually do like an M. Night Shyamalan twist in a lot of the episodes. So they're all really good. And the latest one is, who's the guy? It's got like one of the guys from Breaking Bad and one of the dudes from Westworld. And it's kind of like they live in this virtual reality world where this guy is created based on your DNA, and he has like these prisoner. I don't know. It's kind of like mind blowing, but you should check it out. Black Mirror season 4.
Do you remember the name of that particular episode?
That one, it's the first episode of season 4. I can't remember the name of it.
I thought the first episode was the Star Trek one.
Yeah, that's the one I'm talking about.
Oh, okay.
No spoilers.
Yeah.
I always got to drop that off when we get into these discussions. Yeah, that show is high on my list because I always hear people talk about it.
Yeah, you can just watch one episode here and there, which is what I usually do. But then for season 4, I just sat down and watched the whole thing in one day because it was really cranky interesting. Out. Yeah.
Are they scary?
Some episodes are like suspenseful. Oh. Some are like creepy. Some are really sad. Yeah, they all are very different and too. So it's a pretty cool show.
Have you watched all 4 seasons of it?
Yeah, I watched the 4th season, and then I was like, okay, I got to go back and make sure I've watched all the other episodes.
Oh, you started with that one.
Dude, that is so funny that you do that. You're the only person I know that does that. It's so weird. It's like watching, like, he watches the ends of Game of Thrones, and he goes back and watches some in the middle. It's like, who does that, dude?
I mean, it makes sense with this show, because it's all...
yeah, because everything doesn't matter. It's all, yeah, everything stands on it. So it's, yeah.
Yeah, I see your point there. Okay, that kind of makes more sense. But it's still weird. It's still
weird. Yeah, I did
I'm
the
like
opposite
obsessive
thing.
Compulsive about it. I'm like, I can't watch season 4 until I've watched every single episode of the first 3 seasons.
Exactly. I read a lot about this season 4, and it made me revisit the older ones because I got like, you know, halfway through the second season before.
Uh-huh.
And I watched a good one the other day, that Christmas one from a couple years back.
Oh, with John Hamm. Yeah, that was a really good one.
That is an awesome, awesome episode of TV. And, that is itself is 3 stories kind of woven together into one really awesome. It's just great. And
yeah.
Some of the older episodes of that show, I don't know, some of them were just so freaking bleak. They just made me go, good God, my life is already too close to this. I don't need any more of this technological hell. I don't need, I'd rather watch like, Game of Thrones or something where the problem is like
where
dragons.
Everybody's gonna die.
Some of those episodes are fantastic, and I can't wait to get to season 4. I'll be with you there in a few weeks, Buster.
All right.
That's one of the nice things about seeing movies so often is I go and see movies that I would never see, like comedies, like I mentioned. And before, all the movies I would ever see were like action movies or things that were you would leave and you would have nightmares about, for the whole entire weekend. And it's great just to go see like a comedy or something a little bit more lighthearted and come away from it actually feeling good. That's something that I haven't done since I was a kid, where you watch content, you actually feel better after you've seen it. Like, that never happens anymore. Like, you watch Game of Thrones, you come away feeling terrible. All your favorite people have all gotten horribly killed and dismembered, and you're just like, oh man, I feel awful, but I can't wait to see the next episode. And it just keeps you hooked, and I almost want to give up on Game of Thrones.
Well, you can't do that.
Yeah,
I know. I won't. I know. I actually just got to a major part in the arc of the story, which I won't divulge because you guys will probably
wait,
spoil
did you get to
me.
The Hodor part?
No. Leandor. Okay, let's go ahead and wrap it up there. Gosh, let's go do something more productive, like watch Black Mirror, something like that. Let's go ahead and wrap it up. That's all the cool cast we have for you guys this week. Hey, if you want to talk to us about any of the stories we mentioned on today's show, or come say hi, we're on Twitter. I'm at Airfun, Buzzers BST3R, Lewis is at Lewis Wallace, Leander is at L Caney. We'll, of course, put links to everything we talked about today in the show notes if you want to go and check anything out. That's all the Cultcast we have for you guys this week, but new episodes of the Cultcast come out every Thursday night. I want to thank everyone for listening, and we'll see you guys next time. Dude, I just went for it.
Wow.
That's why I like to hear it.
But Leander's like, I've been hoping you would do that for for 6 years. Gosh, we're about to hit 6 years, I think.
Oh my god.
Can you believe that? We were all so much younger and vibrant when we started, and now we're all like, Leander's almost dead.
Whoa! Not yet, dude.
He's got like a couple years max.
He's switching to Sorriso, everything's gonna be fine.
Dad jokes are never funny, but you're supposed to laugh at them out of courtesy.
Just copy. You can copy and paste that and use it wherever you need.
You know what? I do that in the show sometimes.
Awesome. Fake news.
I will do that. I'm not afraid to admit.
The laugh track?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. They do that laugh track on purpose. Man, it works.
Oh, my God.
Especially like at the end of the show, like I'm trying to wrap us up and things just kind of all are going on and not wrapping up cleanly, I'll put a joke in there and have you guys all bust up laughing.
You're joking on
it. Well, no, it's a joke that I have told in the show. It's not like I record something separately and put the laugh track in. Or I'll say something really just terrible and horribly racist, and then I put like 10 seconds later just laughing his ass off. I'm surprised you haven't gotten any emails about that, Leander.
Yeah, right.
You laugh at some really sick jokes.
Wow.
Well, I laugh at all the jokes, of course, right?
Yeah, you literally laugh at every single one of my jokes once editing is completed.
Oh, that's funny. You edit out the laughter when I make a joke? Or
what's that? Yeah. Silence. Yeah. You've never landed a joke on the show, actually. It's just absolute silence for at least 2 or 3 seconds.